Hi guys, this is Mark Baumgarten. Before we start the show, I just want to let you know that Zion Kiris and I will be appearing at the PalmCon convention in West Palm Beach this Saturday, September 17th, 2022. And to talk a little about it, here's Martin Piero, the convention showrunner.
Hey folks, this is Martin with PalmCon. That's right, PalmCon, Palm Beach County's original Comic-Con, is coming back to the Palm Beach County Convention Center next weekend, that's September 17th. There's going to be a lot of great guests like Carlos Navarro from the Hawkeye series, G-Rod from Stranger Things and The Walking Dead, wrestler April Hunter, lots of great authors like Heidi Hess and Steve Altair, lots of amazing comic creators such as Roland Mann and Greg Kirkpatrick. It's going to be a great show, all kinds of fun activities going on all day long, plus Mark Who 42 is going to be there representing Doctor Who, hosting an amazing Doctor Who panel. You're not going to want to miss that. So come to PalmCon September 17th at the Palm Beach County Convention Center. More information can be found at palmcon.net. And again, that's PalmCon at the Palm Beach County Convention Center, September 17th, PalmCon.net. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you at the show.
So we'll see everyone there. And now let's go to Ed and the show.
Right now, we're still on our time travel odyssey. Yeah, how much time have we spent on this little time travel bit that we've been doing going decade by decade? I don't know. I just know we've been having the time of our lives. Should I keep saying time?
Time.
Am I taking too much time? I don't know. But, well, first, before we get on to the meat of today's podcast, I do have a message for our showrunner, Mark, as he's continuing on his own personal odyssey. I got a phone call from a representative of the Winfred Lauder department store in Cleveland, Ohio. You left your wallet there, so you may want to go pick it back up. It was this lady named Mimi or something. She seemed very nice. At least I think so. I don't know. I'm getting a vibe. Anyway, today's episode, we're still in the 90s, but you know what? We did movies last time, so today it's going to be music and TV, because, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff coming from the 90s. But first off, yeah, just let's turn on the radio and have yourselves some Zima, because we're going to get into some music. And, of course, to help us out, we have my wonderful wife,
Patricia Fryer.
And we are joined by Mr. Truth is out there himself.
Zion Kiris.
Aha, see what I did there? Anyway, but let's see. I think first person to talk about favorite music, let's go with my beautiful wife, Patricia. Favorite music.
I wasn't a big fan of 90s music when I lived in the 90s because, I don't know, it was a weird time because you got the grunge movement and the alternative music movement and all that stuff, and I hated it. So I actually listened to a lot of soundtracks to movies and like Broadway shows. That was really what I listened to the most in the 90s. Although there are a few exceptions. I liked Garth Brooks because it was more of a, not that I'm a big country fan, but he's more of a rock country if you really listen to his music. Yeah. Not very many of them are straight country. Most of them are rock country. But I had friends that just loved Garth Brooks. They were just obsessed with him. And so I listened to a lot of his music. But it's actually really good. And I actually started listening to his music again recently. And I was like, wow, I forgot how good this music is. But no, he's got a really good voice. Like my favorite soundtracks of the 90s would have to be like the Bodyguard soundtrack. Because that's an amazing soundtrack. I mean, Whitney Houston, that's at her finest, I think. And one of my friends gave me the soundtrack for my birthday, and being a rated R movie, which I was not allowed to watch, I'd never seen the movie. So I had the soundtrack, but I never saw the movie until way later. But I listened to that cassette tape, because it was a cassette tape, because it was 90s. And I listened to it over and over and over. I just love that soundtrack. Goofy Movie soundtrack.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Tevin yes. Campbell, who plays Powerline. I still am waiting for him to drop his album, his Powerline album. He needs
it. Oh yeah.
Come on, better late than never, right?
Isn't this year like an anniversary of Goofy movie? So it's
it's the 25th anniversary.
So it's like, come on! It's right that come on, perfect timing.
Every song in that soundtrack is great. It's so good.
Eye to Eye.
Classic.
Yeah.
Yes. That Thing You Do, that came out in the 90s.
Yes.
That had a great soundtrack as well.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was, you know, very 60s themed music, but it's 90s.
Yep. And I think actually for me, I think one of the perfect things about that soundtrack is the linear notes, because they're done like in the universe of the movie.
Yes.
And apparently they were written by Tom Hanks's character.
Of course, any Disney soundtrack that came out in the 90s, I was all about. I bought them all. You know, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, all of that. Yeah.
Nice. Zion.
If I was really hard-pressed to pick, like, some actual artists besides Garth Brooks, you know, I liked some of the Backstreet Boys songs. I mean, how can you not? You know, they got a good sound to them. Michael Jackson, Black and White. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
That's a great song. I remember that one came out when I was a freshman in high school. I know, Zion, I'm old.
No, you're not.
And then, I don't know anybody who hates the song Hold On by Wilson Phillips.
Oh, yeah, love that
song. I mean, even the most hardcore male, that comes on, and he just wants to sing with it. So, mm-hmm. You know. But that's the kind of stuff that I listen to in the 90s, and I'll still listen to it. Occasionally. I still prefer 80s music, but 90s did have a few good things.
Zion, what's your what are your picks?
Okay, so the 90s for me in terms of music is literally just rap. Outside of OK Computer from Radiohead is literally just rap. And it's hilarious that I know I've said that the 70s is the peak of music, but the 90s for me is the peak of rap in all of general. Like, you have so many just amazing albums. You have The Chronic by Dr. Dre, you have Illmatic by Nas, Enter the Wu-Tang Clan, 36 Chambers by, of course, Wu-Tang Clan, Ready to Die, Low End Theory, The Death Certificate. The list just goes on and on and on and on. It's just, wow.
You said that it's mostly rap, and then you said Radiohead was about the only non-rap in there?
Yes. Well, not really. It's that, along with some other soundtracks as well. But Radiohead, for me, OK Computer, at least in my opinion, is the Depression album. Like, that album just sounds so, so sad. They recorded that in just complete midnight navy blue in like a corner. But there's that and the Apollo 13 soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that soundtrack stands out to me like out of a lot of other soundtracks. So much so that I think I've brought this up when we was talking about Disney rides. And when I would go on Soaring, I heard the theme that they use for launch, and you pick it up right away. Like, you know for a fact that's from Apollo 13, just because of the whole regal grand sound of it, and just the build up and the build up and the build up.
I feel you on picking up soundtracks and Soaring, because I've in line for Soaring with Disney World, Disneyland. My ears picked up like a bunch of soundtracks. Like, for example, they also use the opening theme to The Rocketeer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've heard The Rocketeer in that.
Is it Patton in that too?
Patton's in there too, yeah.
Yeah.
Which you would think, it's like, wait, Patton? What? but it fits. It fits with what they're going for. As far as I'm concerned, I kind of, with 90s music, I mean, I'm one of those that for me, it's like individual songs. But one of the things for me, I mentioned Sting along with The Police when we were doing 80s music, but he had some good stuff in the 90s. One thing I'm thinking in particular is the album 10 Summoner's Tales, which has the song Fields of Gold, which I think is just beautiful song. I'm also thinking Weird Al. You know, he started off in the 80s, but 90s he had some good stuff. I'm thinking of the album Bad Hair Day, which the big song out of that was Amish Paradise. There's another song in there called Everything You Know Is Wrong. That's kind of one of those songs, like Weird Al, he's known for the song parodies, but he's also got like songs that he creates himself that parody more a style than a specific song. Like Dare to Be Stupid was kind of a takeoff on the Devo sound. Everything You Know Is Wrong is another one of those where I can't figure out like what specific song style he's parodying, but it's just this great, you know, stream of consciousness, you know, weird ideas just being popping out of his head, and it's a really great song to listen to. It's pretty addictive. The other album I'm thinking of is Running with Scissors from 99. That's the one that has The Saga Begins, where not only is he using the not only is he making fun of American Pie, but he's also making fun of Star Wars The Phantom Menace. So, you know, so you have two for the price of one. The other one that I love in there is the song Jerry Springer, which makes fun of it uses the song 1 Week. And, you know, one of the best parts about that is a spoken word part where it's him and voice actress Trace McNeil. And they're sniping at each other, and it grows. Like, it's like, I slept with your brother. I slept with your sister. I slept with your gold. I slept with your pet goat. And with Weird Al getting the last word and going, that goat doesn't belong to you. You can hear meh in the background. So, I mean, that was a good one. As far as soundtracks, I'm going to take this in a different direction because, you know, we mentioned movie soundtracks, but I got to mention, apologies to anybody if I'm mispronouncing this, but Nobuyo Uematsu, who did the Final Fantasy soundtracks. I'm specifically thinking in my head, I'm thinking Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII, Final Fantasy VI, you know, basically whatever Final Fantasy games came out in the 90s, his soundtracks to them are just, they're incredible. Like I am not ashamed to admit, I have a bunch of playlists like on my Apple Music, and one of them is dedicated just to Final Fantasy music. And there's just there is some good stuff in there. I'm thinking The Oath from FF8, Anxiety from FF7. I can't even. I mean, there's just so many.
Oh, okay. So when you have a big spider in your room, like the screen just goes da 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 a bit a
bit a bit a da da. Oh man, the battle music. Yep. Well, not to mention, hey, when you accomplish something in life, don't you just want to punch up the NFF soundtrack and do the da 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 da?
Yes.
Yeah. I did the dishes. Da 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 da. I took out the garbage. Dun, 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 dun. man.
Going back to Weird Al, I really enjoyed the album. The first album, actually, I ever remember hearing of his was Off the Deep End, which that's the Nirvana parody.
Yeah.
The Smells Like Teen Spirit.
The fact
or
that he got
smells like, but he did Smells Like Nirvana. Yeah,
that smells was like
the,
Nirvana. Yeah,
that and was the name of that thing.
Music video but, for that. But, the fact oh, he got, yeah.
But it's just that whole album is just great parodies of 90s songs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you got like the I Can't Watch This. You know, You Can't Touch This.
Yeah. And
the White Stuff, you know, instead of the Right Stuff.
Although you got to be careful saying something like the White Stuff. There's certain places in Florida where people might misconstrue it. Yeah. They might think you're talking about some other White Stuff.
Very true.
Don't forget Alapalooza.
Yeah.
Alapalooza, which had the Jurassic Park parody. And is Alapalooza the one that had the Bedrock Anthem?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Okay.
And that was also the achy breaky song too.
And it's back to Garth Brooks.
Yeah. No, that's Billy Ray Cyrus.
Billy Ray Cyrus. Okay. It's back to country.
Boy, you were way off on that one.
Hey, it was still country, okay? It was still country. Oh, geez. But man. Anybody have as far as 90s music? I mean, it doesn't have to be an album or an artist, but anybody got any honorable mentions?
Yes. I've been thinking hard, and I have two. I have the Vision Bell by Pink Floyd. As far as I feel, that's the last Pink Floyd album, because they came out with another one, in 2014, called The Endless River. But to me, that's just the Vision Bell Part 2. But the Vision Bell is a far stretch from their 70s music. It's kind of... It also has to deal with one of the main components of Pink Floyd, Roger Waters, left the band in the 80s. But yeah, it's a very good album. It's not what you expect from a Pink Floyd album, but still holds up. And the second one is Star Wars Episode I soundtrack. Now, in my opinion, John Williams reached a peak somewhere within the prequels. I don't know how he kept his intellect of music so high for so long. And even to take it all the way into the late 90s and into the mid 2000s, it's just incredible that, at least in my opinion, that Episode I soundtrack is better than a good amount of just the overall soundtracks of Star Wars. It sounds more different than the original trilogy. And it sets, in my opinion, a big part of how people feel the difference between the original series and the prequel trilogy.
Okay. And well, I got to admit, I do like Duel of the Fates.
Yes.
I mean, that's a good one, and I do like the ending theme,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, the ending march. And I found out that it's actually the Emperor's March, but mm-hmm. but like, you know, sped up and, you know, kind of with a different sound to it. And once I read that and I heard it again, I'm like, oh,
interesting.
I did
not know that.
Yeah. What about Trish? Any honorable mentions?
I got a few. Shania Twain. I know more country, but
there you go.
She had some good songs in the 90s. And, you know, some of them are really good for weddings, you know, like You're Still the One. And from this moment on, I mean, you know, it's girly songs, but I love those songs. And going back to 1990, still counts because 90. Vogue by Madonna.
Oh, yeah.
That was super popular. It's like every dance I ever went to in the 90s had that.
Vogue.
I mean, I guess you could even give an honorable mention to the Macarena if you really wanted to.
No. We are not sullying the show with the Macarena.
Yes, we are.
No Macarena.
It's not your show. We'll talk to Mark.
No.
I'm sure he'll allow it.
No, Mark wants to keep his sanity, so no, he won't allow it. But you know what? It's, hey, you mentioned that, so, you know, in keeping, I think something I would put under honorable mentions, there's a Latin artist, Juan Luis Guerra, and he has this great song. It's a favorite of mine. It's called Perdir Su Mano, which it's got an awesome beat to it. You know, it's something, it's one of those things where you hear it and you got to dance. I mean, even if you don't understand Spanish, once you hear it, you know, you can't just, even if you're sitting, you're still going to move your body. I mean, it's just perfect. I've actually been listening to it while writing, and I've written stuff to it. Like, I've actually, you know, done action beats that kind of go almost to it. So, I mean, it's a great song. You know what? And hey, you know what? I'll even throw in a sort of country. I'll even throw in a sort of country to this. I'm going to throw in, what's it called? The Way You Love Me by Faith Hill. Fun song. Yeah, it's a fun song, and it's got an interesting beat. It's got an interesting flow, how it goes from one to the next. So definitely. Soak Up the Sun by Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
You know, fun again, another fun little song, a great kind of summer song, you know. It's like, hey, it's summer, you know, we're gonna soak up the sun. And
we do have to give a shout out to Alanis Morissette too.
Oh, yep.
She was really
Jagged Little Pill. 90s.
Yeah.
Jagged Little Pill, Ironic.
You know, actually her songs are one of the ones that have actually kind of grown on me. I didn't like them at first because I don't know, I was not very and did not care for alternative music.
That's fine.
I just really didn't, but it's kind of grown on me. I think maybe it's the nostalgia factor. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, 90s when times seemed better.
Well, 90s when people didn't use auto-tune so much.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Jeez, yeah. Louise.
Can't wait to talk about that in the 2000s.
That's going to be fun. But yeah, I think last one I think definitely should go in the honorable mentions. Spin Doctors. I'm thinking the song Two Princes.
Two Princes, yeah.
Two Princes,
that,
yep.
That just immediately makes me think of So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Oh, okay.
Because well, it's on the soundtrack to that.
Given,
that's the only reason I know that song is because it was on a soundtrack.
Just go ahead now. Dang, we got
it. But yeah. I love that movie.
We got some good ones in here. We definitely have some good ones on this list. Even with a certain dance song that shall remain nameless.
What else? I mean,
ugh.
Isn't there any other things in the music in the 90s that was like one hit wonders?
Well, you know what? A great
was
segment.
Chumbawamba.
And you know what?
Smash Mouth should have been one hit wonder.
It kind of helps that All Star just kept being used.
Oh, and then they had to steal from the Monkees, you know, and do that I'm a Believer song, you know, like they think they could make it better. They couldn't.
No, they couldn't. I will say this. I mean, great. You know what? If we want to talk about one hit wonders, and it's a great way to segue into what we're going to talk about after the break. There was a song that told you that, you know, when someone told you life was going to be okay, clap, 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 clap. So yeah, that was definitely a one hit wonder. I even remember actually, the Rembrandts, they played at grad night when I went to grad night, in high school, that was one of the bands that was playing. That was actually, I think the only band I recognized. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, maybe if I looked at what was playing in Disney World for grad night 96, maybe I'll find a couple of other bands and I'll be like, oh yeah. Oh, they were there too. Huh? Cool. But yeah, that was the only band I remember, which kind of, I don't know what it says about how, you know, the grad night entertainment for grad night 96 at Walt Disney World, but yeah, they were there. So with that though, I think we're getting to commercial sign, aren't we? Aren't we, Trish?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
saw
we're getting
the sign.
Oh, God. Another one. That's a good one. But yeah, we're gonna be heading over to commercials with Marku 42. But when we come back, we'll be doing TV. So let's see what goes on the TV list for this group. So as they say on a certain show about that takes place next Sunday AD, commercial sign in 5, 4, 3, 2, commercial sign now.
If you love comics, you'll love the titles from the 77 Publications Limited. The 77 Comic, voted the best UK indie comic of 2020. They have something for everyone, from Blazer, Pandora, and This Comic is Haunted. If you want scintillating sci-fi, thoughtful fantasy, and creepy horror, you should check out the best of British and international creators. They're also a comics community, so pop over to the 77 Comic group on Facebook and see more of their titles over at the77comic.net.
Don't go away.
Don't go away.
We'll be back with more Mark Who 42 after this.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
You are listening to Mark Who 42's Universe.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to Fox Kids Saturday Morning. Right now you're watching Eek the Cat, but stay tuned for a brand new Power Rangers, Batman the Animated Series, and X-Men here on Fox Kids. I'm just kidding. You're still listening to... Don't worry, don't worry. You haven't fallen into some sort of hole.
I wish I have.
This is still... This is still Mark Who 42, and yeah, we're talking 90s music and TV. So yeah, I think you could guess by that little back from commercial intro, we're getting into the TV portion of things, or as I call it, the really, really cool portion that doesn't have annoying dance songs for parties. I'm okay. All right, let's... So yeah, we're getting into the TV portion, so let's see. Who goes first in their favorite TV? I'm going to go with my wife, Patricia.
There's actually quite a lot, because that's when I remember, you know, most shows. But actually, there were a lot of shows that started in the 80s that bled over into the 90s. And, you know, so I mean, I tried not to mention those same shows that I mentioned on the 80s show into the 90s, but I actually watched a... That's kind of the bulk of the shows I watched in the 90s, or stuff that was in the 80s. But if you want to go pure 90s, I think probably my favorite show was Home Improvement.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And I can still watch the rest of that, and I still love that show. And you know what was really interesting about this show? That I noticed that a lot of shows, when they had their pilot episode, the difference between the pilot and the actual, like, very first episode of its run, sometimes it would be in a completely different house, a completely different, you know, just the set would be completely different. Even cast members would be different. And Home Improvement is one of the few where they started in the same exact set that they used through the entire show. And it's the same exact cast from the first episode. And the first episode is awesome. It's a great first episode. Some shows, the first, you have to give it a couple of episodes to really get into it, or for it to find its groove. This show hit it out of the ballpark from the very first episode. It's just a really good show. The chemistry between all the actors is really good. Like, you really believe that Tim Allen and Patricia Richardson are a real couple, because their chemistry is so good. And that's not always the case on some shows. But the show lasted for quite a while. I don't remember how long it stayed on the air, but I watched every one from beginning to end. And I was sad when it left the air. I mean, it was time, but it was a really good show. And I've heard that maybe if Tim Allen's show that he's doing right now, did it get canceled? I don't know.
I think it got canceled and picked up by another network.
Well, I know it got canceled and picked up by Fox. And then it's still on Fox, but I'm not sure if it's still going on or not. But I've heard that him doing that show is the only thing that's keeping them from doing a Home Improvement reboot. Oof, bringing Home Improvement back.
Really?
And so I would be so excited if they brought that back.
That would be interesting to bring back, especially if they can get the kids back.
Yes. Well, I mean, I don't think the kids are doing much. I haven't seen Jonathan Taylor Thomas in forever. So I think he kind of retired.
Like, I think he kind of backed out.
He'll not even want to come back, but I would love it.
What's another one?
Frasier. Frasier was, well, of course, you know, I talked about my love of Cheers on the 80s show. So of course I would have to, you know, go in with Frasier. But the thing is, though, I actually didn't watch Frasier when it first started. I didn't watch it for the first couple of seasons because I don't know why. Just like Cheers got a little weird at the end. I didn't really watch the last season too much. I mean, I have in reruns, but the first one, not really. I think I was just kind of a little bit tired of it. And I was just like, I didn't know if I wanted to continue with the same character. But going back and watching the reruns and streaming and everything, it's a really good show. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Well, there you go.
That's a great
catchy theme song.
Very catchy theme song.
Very catchy theme song.
That was such a great show. And it's, you know, I had seen Fresh Prince, you know, videos before the show started.
Yeah.
And so I knew who he was. And I loved the video, you know, Parents Just Don't Understand. And so when I saw that he was getting his own show, I'm like, I'm watching that.
Yep.
And that one was really good from the beginning as well.
Yep.
And
actually, you want to hear something mind-blowing?
Sure.
Uncle Phil on the show. Oh, yeah. He was one of the voices of Shredder in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes. I knew that.
It's like, wow. Yeah. No, when I found that out, I'm like, Uncle Phil is Shredder? It's like, whoa. It's like, holy moly. It's right up there. You know, it's like, whoa, Uncle Phil is a villain? What? No, I can't accept that. The late great yeah. James Avery. God rest, man. God rest.
And 90s is also like TGIF, you know, Friday nights.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the show's changed over the years. Oh, yeah. But, you know, one thing I forgot to mention in Fresh Prince was that the butler, what was his name? Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, yes.
That's right. He was actually in Doctor Who.
Oh yeah, I think it was one of the Dalek ones. I think it was Remembrance.
Yes.
Which, yeah, I keep forgetting he's in Remembrance of the Daleks. So there you go. Fresh Prince is connected to Doctor Who.
Fresh Prince. Oh yeah, it was what, 1988? Is that when that came out?
Yeah, it was the Sylvester McCoy one. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Unlimited rice pudding, etc., etc.
Family Matters was really popular on Friday nights and TGIF.
Yep.
You know, Steve Urkel. He was supposed to be a temporary character, and he ended up becoming the star of the show.
Yep.
And what's funny is the actor that plays him, he's not even remotely a geek.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
At all.
And like the difference between like his voice and like a Steve Urkel voice is like almost night and day. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, that's Urkel? Yeah. Whoa.
I think it was in later seasons when he developed the ability to switch to a different side of his personality. Oh, yeah. And he becomes Stefan.
Stefan, yeah. Yep.
Stefan. That's
Stefan
actually,
or Kel.
Yes. Yeah. That's more of how he really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was probably nice for him to be able to
be able to talk normal.
To be normal.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
He's okay, so Zion, what are your top three?
Oof, oh my God, I don't even know where to start. This is when I started watching TV, and my goodness. Okay, so I'm gonna start with sitcoms. So you have The Nanny.
Oh,
yep, there you go. Yep.
Loved that one.
That show still kills me till this day, and I will forever have a crush on Fran. She could be 89, and I'll still have a crush on her.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Hey, she's hot.
Extremely.
Mm-hmm.
You have That 70s Show.
Okay. That's all right. All right. That's another good one. And I have to admit, I did have a bit of a crush on Donna.
I still do.
Yeah.
Still do. And personally, this is my opinion. That's the best sitcom of all time. I watched
That 70s Show.
Like five times already.
Yeah. Mm. Zion, I've never seen it.
My soul.
I might have to check it out.
You did not.
I don't think I've even.
You have not seen the sitcom that gave us Ashton Kutcher, Topher Grace, and Mila Kunis.
Nope.
Ooh.
I have not.
It kills me every time I watch it.
Ooh.
It's one of the funniest shows I've ever seen in my life. But now, moving to, I have no clue, cartoons. And again, I have no idea where to start. Spider-Man.
Wait, the 90s animated series? The
one that Spider-Blood, yeah. Spider-Blood, yep. Radioactive, oh, yeah, Spider-Blood. Yep. That show, it's weird that as a kid, it's like one of the greatest things ever. And the symbiote episode was one of the coolest things to me back then.
Are you talking about the first appearance of Venom?
No, when Peter has the suit on and he's fighting Shocker.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about the black costume saga from early in from I think it was season one or so.
Yeah, I thought that was the coolest thing ever back then. But then I watch it now, and then I can't get out of my head. Shocker!
Yep.
I'll chase you down to the ends of the earth!
Yep.
That was
a cool adaptation. Not to mention, it did what Spider-Man 3 failed to do, because it kept a little bit of Venom's, like, you know, Eddie Brock's real character.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Not so much the I'm jealous of Peter Parker, you know.
you have X-Men, you have Pokemon, you have Digimon. Oh my God, there's literally too much to name.
Well, did Digimon start in the 90s?
Yes, it did. It started, I think, in like 97.
I know Pokemon started like 98, 99.
No, Pokemon started in in America it started in 1999, but in Japan it started in 96, 95, and I believe Digimon started, in 99 in Japan. Okay, but yeah.
That's one of the things about anime is, like, it gets weird because you'll have shows that started this time in Japan and then they don't get to the US for like a year or two, and then it just gets really weird.
Yeah. You have Ed, and Eddie. You have Courage.
I forgot about that show. That's Courage, a great show.
It's hilarious.
Well, you know, I'm married to an Eddie, and so sometimes when, at dinner time, I'll go, Chicken Eddie!
Oh, boy. Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, my goodness! You have Courage. Cowardly Dog, Powerpuff Girls, Sheep in the Big City. Oh my God, there's golden age of cartoons for me. Too much.
I feel you on that.
And also, I had to bring it up. The cartoon block Toonami.
Toonami, yes.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Like, I never really put it together in my mind that Peter Cullen was the voice that was selling me all of these things. But when I watched Transformers, the movie, I was like, wait, that's the guy from Toonami. And then I was like, no, that's the guy from Transformers. So the guy from Transformers was the guy on Toonami. I was like, wow.
Well, it's just like another, that Toonami mascot, Tom. That's Steve Bloom, the American voice of Spike.
Yeah, like that cartoon block was so special. Like, just the way it was presented to, like, my generation, mm-hmm. with the jungle music, space, all the great cartoons, DBZ, Powerpuff Girls, Sailor Moon, Yu Yu Hakusho, Rurouni Kenshin, Gundam, amazing, just incredible cartoon block.
Which actually, it's funny you should bring up Gundam, because Gundam Wing is one of the ones on my list.
Ah, Gundam Wing.
That was actually the first Gundam series that I watched. I was familiar with Mobile Suit Gundam, but what I had seen first was the movies, the three movies that they compiled, putting like the entire series together.
Right.
But Gundam Wing was the first series, and in a lot of ways, I consider it like the giant robot anime version of Game of Thrones. I mean, not in the sense that there's like a lot of TNA and things like that. There's really none of it. It's in the political intrigue of it. It's in the fact that, yeah, we have giant robots, but that is, you know, but that's not as important as just the back and forth, as you have like all this, you know, intrigue where, you know, control of the world keeps shifting and alliances keep shifting, and people who start off as adversaries in the beginning end up as allies in the end, and vice versa, and just all that, you know, it's that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Is that I consider it. You know, it's one show that we haven't brought up.
What?
I mean, aside from a joke that I made before the commercial break.
What?
Mystery Science Theater.
Oh.
That's right.
I mean, I wanna say it started late 80s, but its heyday. Like, it's the best stuff was 90s when it was on Comedy Central. I mean, especially because it did something that we all do. You know, I mean, I think we're all guilty of kind of throwing comments and riffs at when we're watching a movie. Mystery Science Theater was just like, okay, we're going to make a show about it. And it just, you know, and it did it so well. I mean, it's now like part of pop culture. I mean, even in the 90s, there was a comic book, there was a miniseries, Transformers Generation 2, and it even has a reference to Mystery Science Theater because the Autobots are looking at a bunch of corpses of a destroyed planet, and Tom Servo and Crow are among them. Hmm. So, you know, even at that point, you know, it was starting to leak out from just being this weird show that's on really late on Comedy Central to something where, hey, you know, somebody's mentioning it and people are like, hey, that's the robots from Mystery Science Theater. Something I think you're talking cartoons. Mm-hmm. We got to mention Gargoyles.
Oh yeah. Yes. I mean,
it is probably one of the best weekday cartoons Disney has ever done. And it's one of those that needs like a lot more love.
It needs a reboot.
Oh yeah, a reboot or a continuation. That's, I know, true. Greg Weissman has been on Twitter, on social media, saying he will do, like, if they approach him, he will do it. Wow. Like, he is game. One of my first interactions with Keith David on Twitter, mm-hmm, is somebody asked him, would you come back as Goliath if they revive Gargoyles? Keith David said, anybody who really knows me, can you answer this question? And I said, I said, of course he would. And Keith David's like, yes, he's right. So yeah, you know, Keith David's in, Greg Weissman's in, just do it. Just do it already. Bring it back.
Please.
I think gravitating towards, like, you know, action and drama and things like that, a show that would definitely be on my list, Babylon 5.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it is. I think it is one of the best science fiction shows ever made. I'm going to do a hot take right now. It came out about the same time as Star Trek Deep Space Nine. A lot of similarities in the sense that the main location is a space station, like out on the frontier. I'm going to do a hot take. I actually prefer Babylon 5 over Deep Space Nine. I know there are going to be some fans out there who are going to be like, what are you smoking? But I seriously enjoy it more. What I like about it is the creator of the show, J. Michael Straczynski, he had a plan. He actually had a plan for like 5 seasons, you know, and how the story would go. He actually had it mapped out, and he was even smart enough that he had little things in this plan that just in case if an actor has to leave or anything, oh, I can, you know, I have a thing where they can leave, and what we'll do is we'll just move this here, move this around, and it's still there. So that's one of those that, yeah, definitely it's one of my favorites. I think as far as drama, we got to mention ER. That lasted like at least 10 seasons. It lasted into the 21st century. And not to mention, we would not, you know, for those who like to gaze at George Clooney on the big screen, he got his fame in ER. You know, in fact, that's one of the things that I have to give the show credit for. It's an ensemble piece, but George Clooney was like, you know, the upfront. He was the face of it. So, you know, when he left, I remember people were like, oh, is the show going to survive without Clooney? And it did. It lasted beyond it. It actually, the show lasted into the 21st century, and it actually lasted to the point where its last season, nobody in the cast was there from the start of the show. It actually had, like, yeah, some of the original cast did come back for the final season, the final episode,
but they weren't main cast. You know, the fact that the show survived, like changing its entire cast gradually, is something that, you know, it's something that you got to applaud. And it was just such a great show. I mean, it was riveting. I mean, it had little bits of comedy. It had a lot of drama, and it actually made you care for the characters. I mean, it even took, one of its characters was this despised doctor named Romano, and it actually gave moments where even he had humanity.
Speaking of him,
yeah,
I've only seen a couple episodes of ER. Not usually, not my type of show usually, but it just happened to be the very first episode I ever watched of ER was the one where Dr. Romano gets his arm cut off by the helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute, did that just happen?
Yep, that happened. Oh, yeah. No, I remember that episode. That was like the season opener. You know, and it was like, oh, we're in the middle of it's funny we should bring it up because that episode was all about quarantining the hospital with like a viral outbreak. And yeah, poor Dr. Romano getting his arm chopped off. And the ironic thing being that a couple of years later or so, he's actually killed when a helicopter falls down on him.
Oh my goodness.
Yep. And it's kind of like how there was the show LA Law, like they had a character that was so despised and they had her fall down an elevator shaft. And it was done as like a moment of dark comedy. Same thing with Romano's death. Like a helicopter falls down on him and nobody realizes he's gone.
Oh my.
Like right at the end of the episode, they're kind of getting rid of the debris. So it's like the next episode that they talk about, wow, we had a helicopter fall on him. And it's just, you know, so it's that little moment of dark comedy. I mean, even to the point where he was going to fire, like right before he died, he was going to fire two of the doctors. One, because he just didn't agree with him. And another, because he caught him smoking pot, like, outside. And it's like, after he died and he just totally disappeared, you know, the one doctor who got caught for smoking, you know, he gets to keep his job. And then the other doctor, the head of the hospital, comes over and goes, well, you know, number one, you've done a great job. I know Romano doesn't like you, but from what I've seen, you're doing a great job. And if he can't be bothered to come here to, you know, to plead his case, you know what? It's done. You're going to keep your job. So it's like the audience is here, like the guy's dead, but you know, we're just laughing. Cause it's like, wow, that's, you know, this is what we've gotten to. Action and drama.
I have a few that I can mention.
Do you have a couple? Okay. Yeah. Let's what else?
Quantum Leap.
Yeah. Although I'm still mad at the end.
It's drama, sci-fi. Yeah. I know, the ending sucks.
Wait, don't spoil it, because I still want to see it.
Okay, I won't say anything. Let's just say that you'll not be very happy with
it. You're not going to be happy.
I know this one started in the 80s, but it went into the 90s, and I consider it to be a drama and a Murder, She Wrote. I used to watch that with my mom, and always, it's an hour show, and always between 30 and 40 minutes, you had to guess who the killer was, and then see if you're right. But now I watch the reruns of it, and it's so obvious who the killer is. It's not even hard anymore. It's not a surprise.
Obviously not the sheriff.
But turning away from drama, one show we do have to mention that started in the 90s that was amazing for a while, even when it went into the 2000s, the American version of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes.
I mean, that was such a funny show. You cannot beat the duo of Colin Mochrie and
Ryan Stiles.
Yes. And then
Wayne Brady.
That episode and Wayne Brady, you know, that's where he got his start. You know, his fame really came from that show. But when they started having guest stars, I mean, when they had Robin Williams on there, that is one.
Oh my goodness.
Hilarious.
And one of the most hilarious things ever was when they had Richard Simmons on there.
Oh yeah.
If you haven't seen that, go on YouTube and look it up. Whose Line Is Anyway, Richard Simmons.
No,
and just be prepared to laugh so hard you're gonna cry.
But speaking of guest stars, one of the funniest things ever, and they had this on YouTube and they took it down, and how dare you, because this is comedy gold, was they had Sid Caesar on. And they did the game Foreign Film Dub. And Oh man, Sid Caesar jumping from fake accent to fake accent. Like he did, you know, he did Japanese, he did German, he did Russian. And it was like, it got, he just dominated the thing. Like it ended because Drew Carey, who did it with him, was like, I give up. You know, he was just like, nope, I give up. I'm done. Like he just reached a point where he was like, yeah, this is not, I can't do any better than him. Like he just threw in the towel. I mean, it was just, it was, oh, I mean, I was just blown away. And again, it was on YouTube. They took it down and I'm just like, why? I know. There's all this rights issues and stuff like that, but come on. Why?
And nothing against Aisha Tyler, but I miss Drew Carey as the host.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love Aisha Tyler, but yeah. Drew Carey just had something.
We could mention the Drew Carey show too. That was a good 90s show.
Yeah. 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 Well, we already did joke about it in the beginning. So, you know,
it's another one of those shows that we have the first season of it on DVD. But they only brought out one season because then all of a sudden everything gets caught up in copyright infringement because of all the music they used in their episodes. So, yeah, it's probably another one you'll never fully get released.
Which is too bad because I know you showed me a clip, a couple of clips from the Full Monty episode.
Yeah. Just like, I love that one.
I have two to say.
Yes.
Okay.
We went through this entire thing and not bring up Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel remiss.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Conroy. I forgive you. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Fortunately, we did bring up Mask of the Phantasm in the last episode. So, you know, at least it did get representative. But yeah, Kevin Conroy, and we cannot forget Mark Hamill as the Joker. Which, by the way, another hot take, I put Mark Hamill above, like, I know everybody is, like, drinking the Kool-Aid of the Joker movie from last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Mark Hamill blows Joaquin Phoenix out of the water.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Die on this hill.
Yeah. Of course.
Zion, what's the other one?
Charmed.
That was really popular. Yeah. I've never seen that either. Yep.
Yeah, I think I've seen like clips in an episode or two.
And you know what, though? Mark would be really mad at us if we didn't mention Buffy. Because I know that was one of his shows.
Yep.
I actually never watched that one either. So, I mean,
Me neither. Although I know that a lot of, you know, I know that there were a lot of, you know, it had a big female following. Not just for Buffy, because kick-ass heroine, but Angel. A lot of people watched it for Angel. We had a good list. We had a really good list, but you know what? Unfortunately, it's time to go. Unfortunately, it's time to push the button and go to the closing credits. But great episode. And join us next time, because you know what? We're getting into the 2000s! We're going to get into the 2000s, so make sure to book your flight on Oceanic Airlines and, you know, get ready for, you know, we're going to do as usual. Next time is the movies. And, then after that, music and TV. So yeah, let's get ready to journey to Middle Earth for, three hour long movies. So from all of us here at Marku 42, myself, Eduardo M. Fryer, my beautiful wife, Patricia Fryer, Zion Kiros and Mark Baumgarten. We're just gonna say, yeah, don't worry, we'll always be there for you when the rain starts to fall.
Thanks for listening to Marku42's Universe with hosts Mark Baumgarten, Eduardo M. Fryer, Zion Kiros, and Vicky Jakubowski. This program was produced and directed by Mark Baumgartner. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please go to our Facebook page or email us at marku42s.universe@gmail.com. You can listen to old shows at our website, marku42.com, or even our YouTube page, Marku42.
Marku42's Universe, copyright 2022.